I've put all of you on the spot many times, so maybe it was time for you to put me on the spot. One show of hands, how many people here have been interviewed on BSD Talk? So there's still a few more to go. There's more than BSD Talk. There's a variety of people putting information out there on the web, websites, blogs. There's the BSD Conferences YouTube channel. I'm not claiming to be the only source of information on the BSDs. I'm not the only media out there. We've got the BSD magazines. But I thought I could give you my small perspective on what I've seen. So in order to do that, in order to give a talk, I had to come up with a title. All good books, right? They start with a title. A lot of people tell you that's the wrong way to go. But I suggested to Dan that maybe I could do something titled "The Microphone is Mirror, What the BSD Community Says About Itself." I just realized I'm not recording this on my own, because I have to record everything and make it a podcast, right? So that was my title, and I wish that was all the work that I needed to do in order to try and fill up an hour. Were I teaching at the university as normal, I go from 7 to 9:45 at night, so I'm used to talking for about 3 hours. So it seemed as though 1 hour, although less than an hour, shouldn't be too hard. Unfortunately, I don't think I should be talking about TCP/IP routing, an introduction to Unix, things like that. That's not why I'm here. So I better come up with a premise for this talk, and I went with this one. BSD is alive and well. Thank you. Yes, so we're done. I'm done, right? There's no more to say. I think there's been a lot of talks to the contrary in the past, but my premise is that we're alive and well. But I don't think I could get away with just doing that slide, so I'll have to add some flesh to these bones, and I can start with an introduction. The microphone. There's one right there. But really, who am I? That's the logo for my podcast. I'm not a developer. And this, this was hard for me. This is very much a technical conference. If you look at the program, you'll see that there are lots of very intelligent people saying some very intelligent things that are often way over my head. So what can I really say to you? Well, when it comes to C, that's not too hard for me. George Neville Neal likes to put things like this up, which is way too hard for me. pointers, I just can't do them. When is it supposed to be the little asterisks? When is it supposed to be the ampersand? And what happens when I mix them up? I don't know. That's why I don't teach programming. I don't have any BSD certification. By the way, you can get it here at this conference. I'm comfortable using VI to go into etcrc.conf and enabling secure shell. No way. but thank you to IX Systems and PCBSD. There's not too much I need to do in order to make that happen. Or you can go with OpenBSD, which have abandoned that whole supplicant thing and made it a bit more simple. I also haven't been around that long. BSD's history goes way back to the 70s. I mean, it depends on where you want to say it starts and begins. And I think we've seen plenty of talks on the history of the BSDs. I come in about there. So when it comes to the history of the BSDs, I don't have some big global view. The thing that was particularly scary is that some of the people in this room have that much history with the BSDs. I'd also like to take a moment to think about the people who couldn't make it this far. Some of the people I've interviewed are no longer with us. And it's also important that we're bringing new people who start after 2010. So I have a tendency to say I'm not an expert. I just interview them. I interview you. As Dan said, it's 189 episodes from December 2005 to April 2010. So I guess I would hope that I've built up a certain amount of material that I could draw from in order to come up with some interesting thing to say, something to bring to you. So while I'm not a developer and I haven't been around that long, hopefully I've demonstrated an ability to listen. Unfortunately, I've been asked to talk. I'm used to just asking a few questions and letting the intelligent people go on for a while. I get to hide behind the occasional mm-hmm or I see. And then I can edit out all the dumb questions so it sounds a bit like I know what I'm talking about. So for this talk, I had to try and figure out what my methods were going to be. What can I do in order to present something interesting? And that brings us to the mirror. Basically, self-reflection. Perhaps I don't feel as though I could say anything that might convince you of something, but if I use your words against you, maybe they'll have some validity. So what the BSD community says about itself. So I started to approach this as maybe I don't have anything particular to say, but maybe you all, through my interviews, had something interesting to say. What form will this take? A status report. I think we all like these. You see them on the various websites. But it's not going to be a technical status report, and it's not going to be a financial status report. We've all seen a technical status report. Why does that thing keep jumping up? Here is a MySQL sysbench benchmark. Doesn't render so well on the screen, I'm sorry. But looks as though the Yule scheduler has made a big difference. It's not going to be a financial status report, but what's nice about a financial status report is there's a common way of representing that. This picture was recently updated. There's a long way to go, so please donate to whichever foundation of your choice or group of your choice. Now, I wanted to do a status report on what the BSD community says about itself. Essentially a community status report, but I had a problem. How do I graph that? How do I get some information out there that will present it in a pretty way? Well, what do I put on this axis? What do I put on that axis? You know, I could do time. I think change over time is a good way to show our trajectory. But here, I don't know, awesomeness? You know, what term should I use? So I think I should start with some definitions. BSD. How many times have you been asked, what is BSD? I have at the risk of moving it and making everything turn off, a BSD sticker on the back of my laptop, which always has people ask me, what is BSD? I also had to ask myself this question because I would often get suggestions for my podcast. Hey, could you think about interviewing these people or this project? And I had to have at least some criteria for what I would bring onto the podcast. So how broad is my definition? Well, you could generally say it's an operating system, but one BSD was an add-on to the 6th edition Unix rather than a complete operating system in its own right. That's from Wikipedia. I don't know if it's accurate. But I've, you know, going through my podcasts, seeing which, defining what is an operating system versus a derivative or a pretty GUI or something else, but when I look through the various projects, Dragonfly, and FreeBSD, NetBSD, OpenBSD, you know, then you've got FreeNAS, FreeBSD, DesktopBSD, MidnightBSD, and MirrorOS. Pretty much I'll take anyone, right? As long as you're an operating system that is based on or roughly related to the BSDs. I also enjoy talking about software that has a permissive license. And I think this is something that we need to advertise more. That it's not just the BSD license, but also all the other permissive licenses, MIT, X11, ISC. If you were to take the spectrum of licenses from permissive to sort of the copyleft GPL style versus more restrictive, I'd like to see as much as possible over here in the permissive because it allows us to mix and match. It's not a one, you know, we from the BSD side or the permissive side, it's really easy to have that flow over to the other licenses, but when things are developed on this side of the spectrum, it's much harder to bring them our way. So I do like to highlight those, and I think that all of these count as wins for the BSDs. Things don't necessarily have to be, and you know, some people would argue that a lot of these licenses, such as the ISC license, are technically the same as the other ones. So I was willing to interview any project with these licenses, such as Postgres, Webmin, Yaws, Varnish, Contiki, completely different operating system, but released under the BSDs, PCC, Unbound, Theorarm, various projects. So BSD Talk hasn't been just about the BSD family of operating systems. It's really a variety of software. Then when you say what the BSD community has to say about itself, I had to try and figure out what I mean by community. If I'm going to do a status report on the community, I might want to define my scope. People willing to talk to me. So I'm not very selective either. So you can't call this a random independent sample. The information I'm trying to gather, it's really people who are just willing to talk to me. There's a lot of people who are quite modest, a lot of people who are difficult to get a hold of, and some people who are just uncomfortable tooting their own horn. My goal is to try and shine the spotlight on the community as much as possible. So who have I talked to? Once again, going through my list of podcasts, myself. Yes, I do talk to myself. The early podcasts were just me. Developers, authors, publishers, users, advocates, hosting providers, system administrators, conference organizers, consultants, researchers, manufacturers, bloggers, other podcasters, companies that write proprietary software for the BSDs, and even Richard Stallman. I think all of these people are part of the community in some way or another. Doesn't mean that they're telling good stories or bad stories, but they're part of this community. So my definition of community is fairly broad. So now, now that I've sort of made some definitions, I thought, okay, I'm going to give you a talk. I should probably do some research. I need to be able to present some information to you that might enlighten you. I was trying to figure out how I could do this. You know, could I do it in a way that was technical, that was funny, enlightening, all these other words. And I really thought the only thing I could do was be honest. That's all I can do. Maybe I'm not going to be able to provide much else. So what could I do? Could I give you a collection of podcast anecdotes? Let's see how that went. We have more communication, I think, between the individual groups than we used to. There seem to be fewer personal differences also than there used to be. Greg Lee, that was in 2006. I guess if there's one thing I want to say, it's that one of the things that we're horribly bad at in the FreeBSD project is actually involving our users. So there's a point of information that maybe isn't on the good side. That's Paul Henning Kemp, October 2006. We also had some comments. My podcast allows people to leave comments, such as, thing I was happy about is that there were many people that were ready to help me with my troubles. Nimchil Bojanov. And that was in January 2006. Any of these people from these quotes in the audience? No? All right. But I discovered that graphing that wasn't going to go very well. First of all, if I just sat here and picked out some choice phrases from various interviews and just presented them to you for an hour, that might not be very interesting. Besides, you could just go and listen to the whole series. So I thought maybe I'd add in a little science. Anyone recognize this equation? Bayes, right. So, you know, you can take audio, feed it through speech to text, put it into through Bayes filters, and come out with the most common word or phrase. So that wasn't very useful. So maybe I should go to the text, such as the comments. What are the most common comments on my podcast? Buy WoW Gold. I hate spammers, and I don't know how we can get rid of it. But so that wasn't very useful either. So perhaps my sample size is too small. Maybe I need to add some perspective. So I thought, okay, maybe I can make this talk a little more interesting by looking at the prior art when it comes to evaluating the community. One thing that's convenient about the BSDs is we died. So if you could attend your own funeral, what would people say about you? I think we have plenty of material when it comes to that. Such as this obituary. BSD 28 of Berkeley, California, died Monday, September 19th, 2005, born July 3rd, 1976. It was the creation of a cluster of pot-smoking hippies who went to Illinois and came home with a reel of tape. Rather than smoke that tape, they uploaded it and hacked on it a little. So that's from the Encyclopedia. There we go. So there's one time that we died, apparently, 2005. That might be a generous date, because there was also a eulogy written in 1992. Open Systems Today, a magazine, sent a survey to the news groups, and it was a survey on the death of BSD. If any of my quotes happen to be you, feel free to let us know if you're in the audience. So what did people say when a survey was given to the news groups? Now that BSD was dead, what did they say about it? BSD gave just about everyone a chance to touch an OS, to make it better, and to try to make a mark on the world. And that so many did is a tribute to the success of BSD. I predict that BSD will not actually die with the demise of CSRG at UCB. It will actually come back somewhere else, maybe called something different. But the need and the desire is there, so it will live on. Is Mike in the audience? No? All right. BSD inspired many changes to Unix from conception and is really what started the whole openness and sharing of Unix software. The ball is now in the court of those of us who admire the software and want it to be free. Is Brian here? No. BSD Unix has been dead for years. I haven't seen a 4.3 BSD system running in a long time. Vendors that sell 4.3 BSD-based systems still haven't fixed half the bugs that came with it. The release of 4.4 BSD will have almost no impact on current Unix users, and most vendors will ignore it. Mark. I guess Mark, were he here, would not identify himself. I was so hoping, though. With the breakup of BSD, volunteer efforts will become crucial to the development of Unix. This means cheap hardware will become the preferred medium of expression. There will continue to be a BSD Unix in 386 BSD, and its competition will be Linux and GNU's forthcoming herd. The winner of this competition will be the industry and the user. Jeffrey. No, Jeffrey. All right. So this is just a sample of what some people said. And as you can see, many of them were very positive. Many of them really said great things about BSD at the time and how important that community was going to be. Didn't quite feel like a eulogy for someone that had truly died. But why not kick us while we're down? Yet another funeral that we can attend. For some of you, this may bring up horrible memories. I can't discuss our legal situation here, but I wish to extend thanks to all of our supporters. My mailbox has been quite lively the past few months. We are continuing on our release schedule and will be conducting business as usual. Is Rob here? No. So even with the lawsuit, doesn't feel as though things were going so bad. But it did lead to some confusion in our community. I'd expected to hear something by now. Has anyone else heard anything about this tape? Has the AT&T lawsuit affected the release? Is this just another slipped release date? Am I dreaming? So maybe we're not doing so well at this point in time. But there was also some defiance. Product quality has been in steady decline since SysVR3. It appears that AT&T and USL believe that the addition of features is what makes an operating system business ready. During the same period, I've seen the Berkeley variant rise steadily in quality and robustness. If USL wins, the world will be much better off. There was some more defiance that I also saw in the news groups. People who said to boycott AT&T. I even saw people saying we shouldn't route their packets anymore. some people who wisely cautioned against doing that. But even after being kicked around a bit, the community in the past felt strong. So the trajectory was a bit hard to define, but I could at least tell that what does not kill me always benefits if you, your speeches always benefit if you quote from people like Nietzsche, right? But that's what I seemed to feel about the community at that time, going through that research. But how do you really measure the strength of the community? How can you put that on a graph? How can you put that in a status report? I'm still rolling along with all these anecdotes. Maybe our reputation. Should I measure the reputation of the community? Two of the most famous products of Berkeley are LSD and Unix. I don't think that this is a coincidence. This is from the Unix Haters Handbook, which is a great book, a great read. Maybe developers. Maybe I could graph how many developers we have. That's the reason we make such a point of giving credit to the Unix community in our releases. They do the work. 3.5 people, no matter how dedicated, can't possibly generate or maintain the amount of software included in the 4BSD system. The contributed software acknowledgments for net/2, how do you really say that? Net2? Yeah, all right. Listed roughly 150 contributions. I think there's more than 150 people at the developers conference last night. Or were we close? And that was just one small group. So we're still looking for volunteers to work on the project, by the way. This quote from 1992 is still accurate. But I could graph that. I could start at 150, and I bet things would look pretty good. Maybe I could look at the audience as a way of measuring the strength of our community. Here are my feed burner statistics for people that subscribe to my podcast. It's a bit self-centered. I'm not really the definition of the strength of the community, but it looks as though things are trending in the right direction. How about the number of packages? That could be an important factor. Package source is doing pretty well. Once again, I like that trajectory. How many SourceForge projects? Well, you can grab information in time, but unfortunately, I didn't have snapshots from SourceForge in the past, so it was very hard to graph. Maybe the impact. The impact of this community. So it's not the size of the community, or it's not the number of packages, but what it all means. Well, thanks to Information Week, the single greatest piece of software ever with the broadest impact on the world was BSD 4.3. We can only go down from there. So... I'm not sure what we can do with that. It started to get into overload, trying to research. What can I come up with? Can I do anecdotes? Can I do graphs? Can I do charts? I really needed to focus on what I know. Authors often say, write what you know. So I thought maybe I should talk about what I know. So I said earlier that I had a demonstrated ability to listen. So what did I actually hear? Great stories. So in my podcast, when I interview people, they're amazing. The work that's being done, not just by developers, but by the authors who are writing books, talking with basically historians of the community. So it's not just stories from the past, but it's also stories about what's being done now, and people talking about what they intend to do in the near future. I sort of have my own personal philosophy that I don't want to spend my time talking about the great things that I used to do, but I prefer to talk about the great things I'm going to do. You know, oh, I used to travel, I used to do this, I used to do that. No, it's what we're going to do. So I think that these great stories are what I know. And they're all stories coming from you. And so by focusing just on that, rather than sort of everything else that I went through in my research, I came to an insight. BSD is dead when there are no new stories to tell. And I don't think we have to worry. It's not that it's dead when I stop producing podcasts. I'm not the only one telling these stories. When Drew or Peter or Michael or anyone else in this room stop writing books, when people stop writing stories on their blogs or on web pages, when BSD magazines stop publishing tutorials. So I thought maybe I should just graph the length of the stories yet to be told queue. Which led me to my conclusion to support my original premise that BSD is alive and well, and I think I found my graph. So acknowledgments. I want to thank all the developers and the authors and the publishers, the users, the advocates, the hosting providers, the system administrators, conference organizers, consultants, researchers, manufacturers, bloggers, other podcasters, companies that write proprietary software for the BSDs, and even Richard Stallman. I also want to thank Dan for making conferences like this. Because this is where new stories get generated. This is one of the many places. There's Asia BSD Con, Euro BSD Con, Meet BSD, Argentina, there's everywhere. I think these are so important to a healthy community. Because it doesn't just produce code, it produces great stories. So I want to thank you for telling me your stories and for listening to mine. Thank you. don't know if people have any questions or. All right.
While I was out in the hallway, I was approached by Michael Lucas and given two books from his private collection. He tells me each one of these is worth $250. Why? Because that's what they're going on eBay? Did you say eBay?
Amazon.
This
is them for new for $250.
Now that they're out of print, their stockpile has gone up. But these are shrink-wrapped and from the author's original, private collection. So they'll be up for auction at the end as well. Any questions before I go on to the next little topic? Anything at all? Ask me the score in the hockey game.
Question for Will. What was the process to get all this quotes from the newsroom?
Go to the Google Groups archive. Start at the beginning and read. I got a history lesson by starting way back at the beginning and just sort of plowing through, looking for subject lines that might pertain to something interesting. I think it's wonderful that they've sort of kept those going. Off and on over many days. You know, clicking here, clicking there. It wasn't as exhaustive as it could have been. I only had to do it long enough to start gathering some interesting quotes and realizing that an endless stream of anecdotes probably wasn't the presentation I should be giving. Anyone else?
Next question.
By the way, I will find all of you eventually and get you. So.
The wireless going okay this year? From the number of open laptops, it should be. If any of you recall, the first year, and probably the second and third year, was sort of very dodgy. We were doing it ourselves, but the U of O, I guess 3 years ago, started ramping up on wireless throughout campus, and now it's pretty good. If it can handle the Dev Summit, people with three wireless devices per pocket. Question.
This row power is not working. I don't know if that's just a breaker to the row.
I don't know. Look underneath for cables and get some wire cutters out. Don't sit in that row. Bring a power cord and run it to the row behind or in front. Sorry, I don't think we'll be able. I don't think we'll be able to fix that one. Yep, that's the solution. Next question. I can't believe you got a room full of 200 people and they're not going to ask a question. John?
There is a broken power down there. You get a note for the lady at the desk.
At the info desk?
The room in which row, if you pass it on to the right person.
That's your job.
Zero or comes from the one?
Outdoor question. What was tough about WPA supplement? It's like two lines you put in there and you're done. How was this tough?
FreeBSD 8.
Yeah, changed.
Changed it, and if it hadn't been for Dan's blog, I would have been a bit confused, because in order to do virtual APs, it changed some things on me and confused me, but you came to the rescue.
I don't know where I got it from, but I had the same problem as Will did. I don't like having to relearn things, so I write it down. Next question.
Sure. Yeah. I started doing a podcast because I took a job taking care of 9 offices across the state of Maine as their network and system administrator. So I was putting about 30 to 40,000 miles a year on a car. And there's only so much news you can listen to before you get very depressed about all the war, starvation, and death in the world. And so podcasts started being my way of passing the time. I was interested in Unix in general, and there were definitely a lot of Linux-related podcasts out there, more than you can count on one hand. But I was really surprised that no one had actually done anything on the BSDs, given, you know, there seemed to be so much material there. So you know, as we do in the community, you know, do it, rather than wish it had been done. So I just started making some podcasts and started out just doing some tutorials and other things just to play with the process. And then my first interview was with the creator of Webmin. And then it sort of went from there. People just have been so generous with their time. And yeah, that's how it started.
The one thing about what Will just said reminded me what I always tell people when they ask me, do you think this will be a good idea? And I said, it doesn't matter what I think. It's whether or not you think it's a good idea. If you think it's a good idea, just do it and get it done, get it out there. And then if other people like it, great. If they don't, well, you've got something that you like. And that's all that matters. If it's something other people will use, it'll spread. If it's not, you did something. It doesn't matter, but... If you think it's a good idea, just do it. Don't worry about getting approval from other people. You're your best support network, and then when others come along, it starts growing.
So do you have to seek people out, or do they tend to come to you at this point?
I generally have to seek people out, and I have to do a fair amount of work to stay on top of people. And that's been the biggest struggle these days. I'm quite busy. We just consolidated three. I now work at a school district, and we consolidated three districts into one. I go to four board meetings now because they consolidated schools but not boards. And we have the Uber board. So there's much less time now. You know, originally there's sort of an email that just says, hey, would you be interested? And most people say, yeah, that sounds interesting. And then you have to, well, can we schedule a time? And there's a lot of that back and forth. And so unless you're very persistent, not that people are trying to avoid me, but it's hard in this international community, and so it can be hard. I'm off doing these kinds of things. It's I do have to chase people down, but there's what's nice is there's just plenty of material. By the way, you'll notice I brought my recording equipment, so if anyone wants to get theirs out of the way during the conference, come get me.
Next question. Wow.
What was the school?
I think it was 5-2 for Montreal over Pittsburgh.
The score was winner and loser.
It was 5-2 at one point, and then they got a... Wasn't Montreal penalized in the last 4 minutes, last minute or so, and they still won?
Yep.
Didn't the game start off with a penalty against... What's his name?
Crosby.
Crosby? Yeah. And it was there that Montreal scored the first of 5 goals.
Montreal's a Canadian city, right?
Yeah, it is.
Canadian hockey.
It's Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. That's the important thing.
It's the important part for
me. Yes.
I heard last night that Montreal beat Pittsburgh the first game.
That's the first time Montreal has ever beaten Pittsburgh at home? Is that what you're claiming?
No. The first game ever played at Mellon Arena, Montreal beat Pittsburgh. The last game.
Arena,
Montreal would beat Pittsburgh.
Don't know.
That is true. I heard that.
That is true? The first time they ever played in Mellon Arena, they beat Pittsburgh.
The first ever game played in Mellon Arena
was Montreal Pittsburgh.
Montreal won.
I don't know. A bit of trivia that the Canadians will know, but the non-Canadians probably won't know. The Winter Olympics 4 years ago were held in Salt Lake City. Is that correct?
No, was it 8 years?
8 years ago?
Yeah.
So what was 4 years ago?
Torino.
Okay. Salt Lake City. Was it Torino or Salt Lake City? They brought in a Canadian to be the ice master.
Salt Lake City.
He buried a Canadian coin at center ice, a loonie, and every game held in that arena was dropped over a Canadian coin. Turns out that the men's team and the women's team both won their respective gold medals. After the final game, which would have been the men's, he scooted out to center ice, dug up the coin, and presented it to the coach, Wayne Gretzky. That coin is now in the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't know if the same thing happened at the latest Winter Olympics, but didn't the Canadian men's team beat the American team? And if you look at the water consumption in your average city and graph it against the periods, at the end of the first period, water consumption spikes and then drops down again. And it spikes again at the end of the second period, and it spikes even more at the end of the third period, and spikes even again when the Canadians win the overtime goal, and it spikes again right after the medal ceremony. Every city in Canada. Sorry, there's a question?
When was the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup?
I don't know, but I guarantee you there's a lot of Canadians on the team. Yeah, it wasn't the Leafs. Anybody remember the Leafs winning again? Sorry, a cup?
Are you still alive?
No, I don't know what Canadian team last won.
Montreal 93.
And 2010. Sorry.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No. Any other questions? Sorry to diverge on hockey, but, well, it is, you know, summer. It was 3 years ago down in Sight, I think. The lobby has a TV screen. The techs get a podcast or a webcast and put it up on the screen, and we're in the lobby watching the Ottawa Senators in the playoffs during BSC camp. Sorry. Questions? Okay, it's 10:25. The next session of talks is at 11. Some are in this room, 11:60, then also 11:20, 11:40. There is, who's registered for the BSTA exam? Some people are registered, some people are taking it. Okay, they're not here. Maybe they're not attending the conference, they're just taking the exam. We'll tell you what that room is when it gets closer to the time. So if there's no more questions, have fun. See you around in the hallways.
I don't know. agree with Kinti, but if they stop reporting to the PGA, that actually comes to performance.
Okay.
So you'll have to restart.
Yeah, what I do, the easiest way to check that checked up is in the meantime, or shut it down. If you don't see any video, then all you're going to do is shut down.
No, you just restart the soundboard. You don't have to shut it, just press the record. I don't know what to do with it. The presenter decides he's not going to use his laptop anymore. And he just leaves it on. We can't really record with this one. I suppose you could just record the message. At least get the place.
Yeah, at least get the place.
Be able to be here for your talk. Do you have like a 2-minute summary?
Sorry?
Do you have a 2-minute summary of your talk since I won't be able to be here for it?
Click is great. We're going to import it.
All right. Excellent. Do we, so how, the work is continuing on building ports, right?
You know, I'm not directly involved with the ports, but there are some guys doing the work, and there's a summer of code project to basically bring Clang into the ports.
Okay.
And we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But you know, Clang aims for basically 100% compatibility with GCC, so...
So all those weirdo GCC so, built-in...
Theoretically, it should be, like, no-brainer to bring it in, but, you know, the problem is mostly with the port, which which hardcode things like GCC into their make files,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, there are some really nasty extensions in the GCC to the standard, which Clang people decided to not support unless enabled it, and it may make some problems too. But generally, I see the future bright.
Okay, cool.
Were you today? Yesterday at
We were here yesterday, yeah, but we didn't.
I mean, at the developer summit.
Yeah, we were there.
I mean, it was decided that we are going to import it. And
okay.
At Chowton, he was working on the Clang import branch.
Okay.
And it's basically ready to ship it into the cloud.
Right. It wasn't clear if we decided if we're going to throw the switch for 9.0 yet or not. Besides importing.
I mean, it's going to be shipped. 9.0 is going to be shipped with Clang, but. It's not going to be really work. There's a very slim chance that it will, but I guess it's like less than 1% because it's really, I mean, it requires a lot of testing. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like switching compiler, it's not like, I mean, switching LS implementation.
Yeah.
Something really more demanding.
You always want many months of testing because you always find bugs. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
I
think I'm afraid I have no idea how to switch this output on. So
this
Have a look at that one. Function. And the
pencil.
Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Just wait.
Oh, really? You're my savior.
Thank you.
One thing you will notice is that college students are smaller than most people here. And I think that explains the chairs. They're also perfect and comfortable sleeping on slabs of granite, because they can basically run until they fall over. I remember those days, and I
but definitely somewhere in Europe. I mean, it was either Slovakia or Czech Republic or Austria. But I mean, it's kind of common.
It's just funny.
You know, they just put a random text on the t-shirt, so it makes it look kind of cool. I mean, that's the spirit.
Okay.
I believe there is no real meaning in the...
Okay.
I
believe that exists.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I live there.
I definitely believe you, but no one else except Americans knows it.
Okay. Well.
You know, there are even people in Czech Republic or Slovakia who are wearing t-shirts with texts which are offensive or something like this in English. They don't know what it means.
Yeah.
So for English-speaking tourists, it's like, I'm sure. But definitely, yes. Definitely no meaning. I have three more similar t-shirts, but I haven't checked the text on them, so I can show you tomorrow.
No, it's just, it was really surprising to see.
I guess I can't believe you.
I thought I knew all of the local BSD people. And
I'm definitely not local to you.
No.
It's like half the planet.
Yes.
So it's a long... Oh, you know, life is full of surprises.
Even $100 range, there's incredible video cards.
Well, I sometimes also get surprised when there's a movie and they are supposed to speak Russian there, and the Russian language is actually Czech language. So I can understand it, and it's kind of funny for me.
Yes, no. I studied Russia for a few years in the late 1980s and never used it, so it's long gone. But I thought Russian and Polish and Czech were very similar.
Not that much similar, but we can understand stuff.
Right, you can make yourself known.
Yeah, you know, the common stuff is, but you know, there are differences. Sometimes produce funny situations. Sometimes in my language it means this, and in their language it means something completely different. For example, I believe bread. If you say fresh bread in Czech, no, if you say fresh bread in Russian, it means old and hard bread in Czech. So Russian people often get very bad bread in Czech Republic. But generally, we can understand each other almost.
Better than I did in German.
Well, I believe the similarities are definitely the same between English and German. Oh, maybe it's closer, I don't know. Hard to say.
But it's like it's the practice of power collecting it all. One thing that I was really amazed was the performance difference. Even say running the previous knee and doing ordinary tasks, the core i7 is a beast. It's fast beyond
just in slash.
Flesh?
Yeah. So I think the work right now is to share the game.
Yeah, the iPhone.